Put Your Clon Peaks Together. It's Androids and Assets presents Emissaries of Profits.
That's right. Yeah, we're going right into the second shaft with this one. I am your host, Stephen, joined, as always, by your other host, Marshall.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, yes, indeed. And today we are talking about more of that DS9 goodness. And oh boy, I know I've been complaining about these episodes, but this took a turn for the better.
Yeah, I mean, like, a turn for the worse.
Yeah.
But for the better.
Oh, for yeah, yeah. The worse, the better, I say. I'm kind of...
So we're talking about the episode Move Along Home. First air date, 14th of March, 1993.
Okay, good year.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. So this is just like a quick rundown of this episode. You've got a first contact happening. I think it's the first contact?
It's the first people who have, like, come through the... Well, I don't know. They talk about, like, it's our first contact with a civilization of the Delta Quadrant. Gamma Quadrant. Not true, because, yeah, they had, like, the Tosks people came through. And that was technically a first contact. But whatever, this is the first contact.
Yeah, like a formal first contact. Yeah, so you've got, like, Sisko trying on the dress uniform. He's like...
Oh, man.
They look good.
Yeah.
He chews so out... Dr. Bashir for not having a dress uniform, which we'll get into more later. And then the Wadi arrive, and he welcomes them, and they exchange welcome, and they quickly are like, we're told that we want to go to Quarks for the games, Quarks, games, and immediately are just shepherded off to Quarks.
That's like that, whatever you want, yeah.
Sure.
This is what first.
Apparently, this is how first contacts work. I guess. Give the aliens.
The Federation games. Officers are pretty miffed by this. This is not really like, no, you go to boring meetings, but they're just like, nah, we just want to give me them Dabo games.
Yeah, yeah. Sisko is really put out. So they go to Quark's, and Quark is like, I'm a consummate host. I'll make sure that they're completely welcome. And, you know, they play a game. Quark is like, let me give you one. Dabo roll on the house.
Yeah.
They roll, and he goes, ah, 2 points. I guess you lose. Too bad.
Yeah. Whatever that means. Because Dabo, every time we learn
he
something
didn't
about
shout Dabo,
Dabo,
so they didn't win.
Yeah.
That's all
we
know.
Yeah. And Dabo remains an inexplicable mystery.
Yes.
And then, apparently getting points is bad because they get 2 points and then they get 1 point. And both times they lose. So yeah,
those are the only times we've heard scores.
I don't think you want points in Dabo.
Or maybe you want lots of points. Maybe you need like 3 points or more to win. I don't know.
Under 36 are bad, but points above 36 on Prime are good.
Right, yes. So, so Quark has let them have their one free roll. And then he says, okay, well, like, if you want to keep gambling, though, like, you got to gamble something. It's no fun if you're not. If you don't have anything to lose. And the Wadi, you know, they knew they were coming to play games. And he said, oh, pulls out a little box. Quark's impressed. They open the box and they pull out a stick. And it's a Clon Peak and it has very many uses. We don't know what they are. They never get into the uses of the Clon Peaks. Yeah. Use your imagination. It's a stick. About, I don't know,
chopstick 20
centimeters long.
Yeah, chopstick length.
It's like a centimeter
tapered at
in
both
diameter.
Ends. Yeah, it kind of...
It's a bit knobby, like it came off of a tree and wasn't really like shaved down at all. Yeah. It's a stick.
It's just a...
They have many uses.
Yeah.
The only time we see them using them is that they click them together.
They hold them.
Kind of like applause.
Yeah. They twirl them around in their fingers.
I think just holding a stick, you know, it feels good. You just feel happier when you've got a stick. Yeah. So
I like that the Clon, they you think like, oh, you know, Quark's being ignorant. He's rejecting this out of hand. It's actually really awesome. And the Clon Peaks are going to prove to be like really important later on. You think like, oh, this is a Chekhov stick. But no, it's just a stick.
So, literally just a stick.
So good for the writers of Move Along Home for having the courage to do that.
Then they pull out a bottle with some liquid in it, and they're like, Alpha Current Nectar, it's a delicacy. And Quark tries it and spits it out. Disgusting. Which, I mean, like, you kind of have to expect between cultures and species that, like, if you randomly have a food product, they're not going to also like it.
Yeah, you think there'd be some accounting for taste on Quark's part. Like, he'd be like, I can find someone who will consume this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he might not like it, but that doesn't mean it's not valuable. It's, yeah, I don't know. It's a strange thing. One, it's a strange thing to offer as having value, because for him, all it is a juice, which, you know, it's only rare in so much as it came from the Gamma Quadrant. Like, there's no relative rarity of it with other juices.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, it's some juice. And then they pull out finally a bag of gemstones, and Quark's greed is like,
this incredibly novel drink from another section of the galaxy, worthless, but gemstones that you can replicate anywhere. Wow.
Yeah.
Priceless.
I mean, they appear to be just quartz. Like, it's not anything special. Yeah.
They're like those polished rocks you buy in like bric-a-brac tourist shops in the Rocky Mountains.
You get a bag of them for a dollar because they're literally worthless.
Someone collected those out of the river and threw them in a polisher.
So then Quark's like, yep, we'll gamble this. Cut to like 6 hours later, the Federation officers are like bored, wondering what's going on, and the Wadi have somehow miraculously collected up huge amounts of
fat
gold
stacks,
platinum. So
there's just like laying everywhere.
They are winning. So then Quark pointedly tells the table runner,
The Dabo girl.
The Dabo girl. Well, he said the Dabo girl's arm is tired. She has to stop. And then they're like, just replace her. Bring in another worker. So he hands the stick over to one of his Ferengi associates, and they jostle the stick back and forth, which is clearly the sign for, it's time to turn on the cheating switch. These odds better be in our favor. Sure. So, you know, apparently it's like a physical switch that you have to hold down when you want to cheat.
Yeah.
And it's just on the side of the table where anybody
can
could push it. So he cheats. And the first time it's like, he cheated. The second time,
the Wadi catch him.
They catch on. They're like, we know that we were winning this game and you must be cheating. And so you busted. Quark is like, oh, you caught me. Uh-oh, I guess maybe like, no big deal. Whatever. And the Wadi are like, no, it's time to play a different game. And you kind of think they're just going to beat Quark up because like... super menacing.
that these mullet toting face tattoo aliens might have a badass streak.
Yeah, like this. Yeah. One of them would hold him up, and the other two would just like body blows for a few hours. Like,
I guess
that's the game they're gonna play. I'm all about it. No, they open another box, boing, and they have some amazing technology that gets rid of the Dabo table and brings in a new game board. And Quark is like, ooh, what's this? A new game? And they're like, yeah, you're gonna play it. And they're like, so they start setting out pieces. And he's like, I don't know the rules. And they're like, okay, well, these are your players. Bloop, bloop, bloop. And we're gonna put them on the second shap. And he's like, what about the first shap? Like, no, only children start on the first shap.
That's right. The game's called Chula.
Chula, yes.
Chula.
You're going to play Chula.
Everyone's from here. Warner Brothers or Hasbro presents.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised that they didn't like monetize Chula and put out a Chula game board that anybody could play.
It's a very expensive board. I mean, it's giant and made of mostly of glass.
Yeah, I mean, you could scale it down.
Yeah,
have a little table size.
Travel Chula.
Travel Chula
for the kids.
Also, I suppose part of the problem of Chula is that while Sisko and his other senior officers are sleeping, when the Chula board gets set up, they are automatically transported into, I guess, an alternate universe where
they are
the players in the game. It's kind of like playing Jumanji, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if Jumanji came out around the same time as this.
1996 or 1997 was the Kirsten Dunst Jumanji.
Okay,
Kirsten
so like Dunst, Robin Jumanji Williams. Was inspired by Move Along Home.
No, I think there's a Chris Van Allsburg book from the 60s in there, but anyway...
Fine. So Jumanji was inspired by Move Along Home, because as they're playing the game, they're not just playing the game. They're like literally in the game.
Yeah.
So now you've got like the two things happening. You've got like Quark playing the game and the Wadi telling him to like make a choice. Shortcut, double the hazards, double the winnings, or play it safe. And he's like, oh, what do I do? They won't actually explain the rules to him.
Eventually, Quark does realize, though, that the pieces actually represent the senior officers.
Yeah, well, I mean, Odo puts it together for him. Sure. Odo solves the problem.
Yeah, yeah, and then Quark gets very...
Oh, no, I don't want to lose any more pieces because I'm killing the cap, like I'm killing the commander. How can I... This is too much for me.
Quark cries.
He does touching. Cry. Yeah. He puts his wrists together and begs for mercy.
Just, I guess.
The Ferengi form of pleading is not like knitting your fingers together, but it's instead just touching your wrists.
Yeah.
It's great.
A very different thing.
Yeah. Like it's almost identical, but different. Weird how that happens. What do we call that? Like evolution that...
I think it's just Star Trek-y wackiness.
Just like, what's that called, Candace? When two different things evolve the same thing? Convergent? Convergent evolution.
There we go. All
right. Yeah. It's that's the phone a friend option right there.
Yeah. I'm going to put some Who Wants to Be a Millionaire sound over this.
This is perfect. Another game show. So then they're playing the game. Inside the game, they have to like solve a child's game.
Dumb hazards.
They have to, you know, drink a drink so that a poison doesn't poison them. They have to,
climb around a hole.
Yeah.
Anyway, they die.
Hazardous cliff. And then they die.
They all
and
die. And
then, bling, they're popped out of the game. And Quark's like, what? No one is actually at risk. And the Wadi look at him and they're like, yeah, it was a game. Like we weren't actually going to kill your officers. We were playing a game. Jesus. But he lost, so he got no money out of it. So,
So what's our main, I think, what's our main takeaway from this episode?
Mostly like institutionalized gambling is bad for the gambler.
Sure. Yeah. So the fact that Quark feels that he needs to cheat is weird.
Well,
yeah, it's already.
And also that the Wadi are much better casino runners.
Well, yeah, that the Wadi could just with the right technique beat the system.
Well, no, I sort of meant like when they were the house.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
They won the game.
Yeah.
And got all the winnings.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When Quark ran the house,
he lost.
He did not.
Yeah, and he shouldn't lose, right?
No, I mean, to be a good casino runner, you have to make a profit, and he was not making a profit. So.
Right, yeah, that was his consternation. How does the modern casino function in this way? Because there's actually quite a lot of theory and analysis of this. Like, there's
formal
mathematical proofs for how to operationalize a casino and how to run it in such a way, and...
Yeah, because when I was watching it, I was like, oh, man, like, Quark is really, he's a bad casino runner. Because a casino has to make money. Like, that's, it is a business like any other.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's a Trump casino.
Well, I mean, mismanagement aside, any business can be mismanaged in such a way, right? Like. Yeah. Casinos have their own loss leaders and things, and if you don't bring in enough gamblers, you just won't be able to cover your overhead, right? You've got costs and employees and all those sorts of things. So like whatever, they should make money. Casinos should make money like any business, right?
Yeah.
And casinos are sort of like designed to have people come in and just give you money.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
For
That's
nothing.
The business
for
model.
Nothing other than the chance that you might give them money. People will give you money.
Yeah.
That's what you're selling.
Yeah.
The opportunity to win more money.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. It's like every game in a casino, like you've heard the saying, like the house always wins, right?
Yeah.
And this is because every game is designed to give the casino an edge over the player.
Right. So that even though you might win, you might get a payout longitudinally as you continue to play, you will always find your funds depleted.
Right. Because
they're going to be taking money through the law of averages on every play.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So like on average, they'll win, you know, like something like in Baccarat, it's like 15%. Bingo something like 30% or something.
Yeah, with roller
like
slots, like 61%. Like
I think, well, slots I think are only like 25% or 20%. So they're not quite as bad.
Right.
But I mean, like, if you think that every time you're putting in a dollar, you're only getting 85 cents back,
mm-hmm.
like that's it's a pretty terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, like there's going to always be a story about somebody who went in and pulled a slot machine and came out with $7 million. And that's great.
For them.
For that one person.
Yeah.
There's also 7 million people who went in at the casino, put in $100 and came out with nothing.
Yeah.
So, so like the casino always, so it's something like a roulette table. People are pretty familiar with roulette table,
yeah,
right?
And Dabo is probably, we can presume, maybe something like roulette.
It looks like in that like it's got a spinning circle top and you place a bet somewhere on it.
Yeah, well, let's work from that assumption maybe for easy math.
So you've got a roulette table, and the there's 36 numbers, like there's 1 through 36 on a roulette circle.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if it's evens or odds, but one is red and one is black. So you can, so the way that like the roulette works, like you can either choose, you know, evens or odds or reds or blacks, or you can choose a particular number or like a spread of numbers. So if it lands on that single number that you chose, you get a payout of 36 to 1 because there's 36 numbers you could have chosen. You chose one of them, so you get a 36 to 1. The zero, well, there's usually also a zero and probably a double zero on a roulette table. And you can't place your bet on a zero or a double zero.
Yeah.
And if the ball lands on that, you lose.
Yeah.
So when you think of it, like you're like, okay, I have a 36 to 1 odd of winning, but it's actually like a 38 to 1 odds of winning. And that marginal difference, that shave of a difference of like the difference between 36 to 1 and 37 to 1, that's the casino's profit right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That like,
yeah, because on, 7% so yeah, cause all, cause over the course of, again, thousands of spins, they're going to get those and that's when they will make their money.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like you're never playing like a perfectly even odds game where you're like, that's why casinos don't have like heads or tails as a game.
Yeah.
Because then it's actually like 50-50.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a terrible odds.
And even if you played the 50-50 option in roulette, like if you played like the evens or the odds in roulette, I'm actually fading on what all is there, but I think there's an even or odds square in roulette. And basically,
I think the zeros still count as a loss.
Yeah, yeah, they still count as losses. So you would still lose. So even if you were playing on the 50% odds all the time, you would still lose.
Because it's not actually 50% odds. It's like a 48% odd of winning. And
yeah.
So it's sort of like...
Yeah, so you would still lose about 40 cents on the dollar, I think, is the math.
Well,
playing.
Like, I think a little bit less, but yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Because there's only...
If you played roulette in the most rational way, you would still lose.
Yes.
It's a loss mitigation game, not a winning game.
Every game in a casino is a loss mitigation game.
Yes.
Like, you are always losing money.
Yeah.
You can never go into a casino thinking, I'm going to win this one. Like, even if you play blackjack, which has the best odds of you winning, there's only, like, if you can play perfect odds, if you can count cards perfectly, then the casino still has a 0.5% chance. Like, has a 0.5% edge on blackjack.
Yeah.
So people always, like, throw blackjack out as being like, oh, that's the game I can win. But no. And that's only if you can count cards perfectly.
Yeah. And you can maybe be up or find yourself in a situation where you might be, in the moment, having more money than you came in with.
Yes.
And if you walk away then, yes, then...
For sure.
But the casino will have still been profitable.
Well, no. Like, if you walk in with $100 and you walk out with $110,
sure,
they've lost money on you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But you have to walk out at the $110. And casinos also work very hard to make sure that you don't walk out with $110.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't have windows.
You.
They don't have clocks.
Yeah.
They often give away free drinks.
Yeah, or food. Or food. I mean, anything
but
to
drinks,
keep you at the
drinks
table.
Drinks especially.
Yeah.
Food works. It keeps you in the casino. Drinks especially, because then all of a sudden, like...
You're feeling good.
You're feeling good. Yeah. You don't...
There's a pretty girl there smiling at you or something, or whatever it is. And
you're a little bit out of sorts, so you're probably not going to gamble perfectly anymore.
Yeah.
So that 0.5% all of a sudden climbs to a 10%.
Yeah.
And you lose your money real quick. and so if you always think, you're like, okay, well, a casino is always going to be taking, like, no matter what game I play, on average, they're going to take 5%. That's a good way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't go in and be like, I have $100. They're going to take 5% of it. You have to go in thinking they're going to take 5% of every time you bet.
Yeah.
So if you have $100 and you're only betting whatever, $5 a time, but you play for 4 hours. So you're like $5 a time.
It will actually
make 20 bets in an hour. That's like 5 times 20 is 100. So you bet $400 and they're going to take 5% of that $400 total that you've
made. Yeah, of betting, right? Yeah.
So they're going to take $20 from you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the 5% of your total money. It's the 5% of everything you've bet the entire time.
Yeah.
So you're gonna lose more even than you think you're gonna lose.
Yeah, because you've lost 4% on $400, not 5% on $400, not 5% on $100.
Exactly. Yeah, because you've bet multiple times, mm-hmm. so yeah. they get a shaving every time you bet.
Yeah.
Not just like that you came in with $100. So
yeah.
Quark apparently isn't doing this. Quark somehow is running a game for 6 hours and letting the Wadi just like amass money.
Yeah.
So I don't know like if his
What is it with Dabo?
Dabo table was broken.
Yeah.
Or if the Wadi have some sort of like genetic ability to manipulate probability around them. But like, so I think Quark should have either
closed the table
and said like, we're done. Or like,
we'll get it tomorrow.
Yeah, let's play again tomorrow. We'll try it again. I'll turn the cheat meter on for solid, like instead of having somebody push the button and like get that money back from them. Figure out if you've got like something wrong with your Dabo table because you should be making money.
Yeah. And if you're not, you need to stop doing that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
close that part of your business.
Basic casino management for Quark.
Yeah. Like Quark, close the table.
Yeah.
Take the loss. You'll get it back from Mord later. It's fine.
Okay, yeah.
Other weird things that I saw. Just like...
Yeah, money.
Because there's always... No, I mean, just like in the episode that I was just sort of like, why are they making a big deal out of this?
Yeah.
The first one was Dr. Bashir didn't have a dress uniform.
Oh my God, that made me so angry. Replicate
mind-boggling. He's like... I was sure that I packed my dress uniform, but I can't seem to find it.
You are so 20th century right now, Star Trek.
It's like, oh no, these dress uniforms can't be replicated, and they're made only by, like, I don't know, a team of skilled tailors in San Francisco. That's the only place you can get a dress uniform.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Federation actually blocks the dress to protect the guild of dress uniform makers. Yeah, bullshit. Like crazy. Like
it was just such strange, and like he's very worried about it. The commander is super worried about it, and you're like, why did you not just like make a new uniform?
Yeah, like why do people in Star Trek pack?
Yeah. And I've never seen them pack.
No.
That's the other thing. It's like
they shouldn't need to.
They arrive at a new place and they're like, I've got my things that can't be replicated because they have sentimental value.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
The only thing I brought with me is in this bag because.
Yeah. It's just like my grandma's blood and.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't go somewhere with their grandma's blood, right?
I mean, it's you can't replace it. It's as immeasurable sentimental
irreplaceable.
Value.
It's irreplaceable.
One of the things I got really stuck on, because one of the subplots here is Sisko is worried about Jake and Nog's friendship.
Yes.
And there's...
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and so in this episode, we learned through an offhand comment that Sisko makes that Nog's a player. Nog pulls.
yeah, him and Jake and Nog are hanging out and Sisko's like, you're always hanging out with Nog. Well, yeah, but you know, we go and we look at girls and stuff. Like, Nog's older than you. He probably does stuff with girls that you're not ready for yet.
What?
Dad, I'm 14. Like, what is Nog doing with girl? Why do you know about this, Sisko?
I mean, Sisko knows everything. You just ask the computer.
So you're right.
Does Nog
pull?
Computer, does Nog pull? Yes, Nog pulls. But I mean, it's also really funny because the actor who plays Nog is very clearly like a 12-year-old boy.
Like he looks very much younger than Jake.
Very much younger than Jake. Quite a bit shorter. Like, just so
he's kind of shorter and he's very worried about everything all the time. So he's like, He's kind of fidgety.
Yeah, Nog is a very insecure character at this phase in the show.
What is Nog doing with girls that Jake is not doing with girls? Because right now, I'm pretty sure both of them just look at them and then run away.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, Ferengi culture, I don't know. And then you got to think about like sexual mores and in regards to the hollow sweets and, you know, like,
I mean,
that happen, you know,
I'm willing to bet that if Nog is going in and, you know, making use of a hollow sweet, so is Jake.
Yeah, I guess.
Probably the same hollow
sweet. Yeah, I mean, I could totally
They're 14.
Yeah, yeah. I could definitely see the Ferengi introduction to the sex being like, okay, you're as a prostitute. Like, that's like the kind of gross.
Oh, yeah,
that's likely the kind of gross thing you can see the Ferengis being like, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Ferengi also have women who aren't allowed to wear clothes.
Yes.
Yeah, and can't have a job. Yeah. So
they're a horrifically misogynistic society.
It's pretty different.
Yeah. Like, that's one of the things about, like, Jake Nog can't go to school because Keiko O'Brien is the teacher and kind of a female instructor. Like, that's the first cultural hurdle they have to overcome in including the Ferengi. So,
yeah.
Wild.
It's incredible.
Anyway, but yeah, it's... So anyway, we learned a lot of fun space words, you know. We
got clon pigs.
Yeah, we learned about the Shaps, the
Alamarain, count to four, Alamarain, then three more, Alamarain, if you can see, Alamarain, you'll come with me.
We learned a song. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a very educational experience.
And I mean, like, some people are just going to see this as being like child's play. But some people are going to see the value in it, and they're going to move on to the third chap.
You're going to move on. That's right.
So
I.
This is how the game, we puzzled out how it works, sort of. It's kind of like playing Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You have your four pieces, and you need
to get them home.
To your home base.
Yeah.
And
they can get bumped off
and
they, of the
yeah,
track.
They can get bumped.
Yeah.
But it seemed like as long as you had at least a single piece, make it home, you were the winner.
Yeah.
They had to just overcome these problems. So the real trick of it is making sure that the players you have in the game are willing to like actually think about any sort of a puzzle. Because they get in and they see this girl like playing hopscotch.
And they're just like, oh, just do that.
And they tried to walk through and they're like, oh, there's a force field in the middle. Okay. And they were like, oh, just do those steps. No, the steps didn't work. You had to sing the rhyme and do the motions along with it.
Yeah.
And Commander Sisko almost didn't do it. It took Dax like... egging him on, being like, oh, come on, you can do it.
Yeah.
If it had just been, if there was four Siskos playing, they wouldn't have made it past the second chap. Yeah,
they would have died on the second chap.
That
would have
been the end.
Chap.
Be like,
they would have starved to
the
death.
The game is over.
Yeah.
So you had to move through these chaps, and it seemed like there were six chaps. So
But you always start on the second chap, because only children start on the first chap.
Which doesn't
make
any
game
sense.
Longer?
You're like, wouldn't the first chap, I guess it's easier or something.
Yeah, except it makes the game longer.
So then
you descend the chaps.
Yeah, because you have to go from chap one to chap six and home.
Yeah,
and yeah. So I guess you can just say like chap one is so easy that only children play it because it involves is like walking through a door or something.
But by that definition, chap one was pretty like
the second chap
two
was
not
very
that hard.
Easy.
Yeah.
The third chap
was also
very
not very
easy.
Hard. Yeah. None of these were
Yeah, like a very, very simple puzzles to solve.
Mm-hmm.
You're sort of like, where's the challenge in this game?
Yeah, it's it was kind of painful.
The big part of it was that like he had to make a die roll and one of his characters just died.
Yeah.
Where it was like,
one of them was just arbitrarily like, oh, he's dead. And then Bashir was like, no.
Yeah. The other lesson from this is that don't play a game if you don't know the rules.
Yeah.
The house will always win, even if you know the rules.
That's true. Yeah.
The house will definitely win
if you don't know
if
the
you
rules.
Don't know the rules. If you don't know the game that you're playing, don't play.
Especially if it involves betting.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
Yeah.
If you don't know what it is,
I'll just try euchre. Is my life savings enough?
We'll make an exception this time, but sure.
Yeah.
The other fascinating part of the game was that if the players weren't moving fast enough, Fallow of the Wadi would show up in this alternate universe and say kind of menacingly to them, run along home, move along home.
And then like a door would close in front
Shap.
Of him.
And third Shap.
What?
Okay.
Like a door would open. There'd be there'd be the guy. Yeah. Like face tattoo. Move along home. Move along home.
Yeah. I also want to like. And there's the also like weirdly why? Like. Yeah. There's also like quasi like. There's it comes out being this whole episode comes out being weirdly Orientalist. Also,
sort of.
It was like wadi is an Arabic word. It means like a kind of like seasonal water course, like a dry. Basically like a dry creek bed, you know.
Which you follow to move along home?
I don't know. Like, I don't know what's that about. But yeah, like they're kind of weirdly Orientalist. And like, yes, we are obsessed with pleasure and we have weird sticks. And I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, I didn't pick up on that, but that doesn't mean it's not true.
There's some Edwards. I think we could go real Edward Said on this episode for four more hours. And no.
Yeah. So it was hilarious to watch, but I think it was unintentional on the part of the show. So that made it a lot of fun.
Yeah. So that was a Move Along Home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Click.
Join us click. Next time as we... Yeah. That's right. Clong peaks. Yeah. So join us next time as we get our first rules of acquisition going in our... Very first like Negus episode.
Yeah, Negus is up next. We got the rules of acquisition.
Oh boy. You just gotta So in two more weeks.
And what's his name? Wallace Shawn.
Wallace Shawn, yeah.
Shawn
the Sicilian Wallace Shawn.
Wallace Shawn. He's got two first names.
Yeah.
I never know which
one. Yeah, yeah. No, it's fair. Yeah. The man of two first names. So get ready for Princess Bride references and rules of acquisition and all the good things that go with that. So
yeah. We also we were at Worldcon.
Yeah.
We.
Yeah.
Androids and Assets was at Worldcon.
Yeah,
we have a couple of Worldcon interviews that we did. So we're going to release those over the course of the next week. So
keep your eyes out for that.
Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun.
Tasty.
We had a lot of fun. We hope you have a lot
World
of fun.
Content.
World content. You'd fit right in.
Yeah, I would. I should have gone. But
there's always next year.
I keep waiting for it be close enough to drive to. It's going to happen.
I need a Worldcon Red Deer.
Worldcon Leduc.
If I can't ride my bike there, it's not worth going.
Worldcon Rocky Mountain House. This has been Rural Alberta Jokes.
All right. Thanks very much.